We are kicking off a brand new series titled Losing My Religion. Losing My Religion. You see, more and more people are deciding. They're deciding that church isn't just, the church just isn't for them anymore. Many don't see the point. Maybe they grew up in it and were so disappointed by what they saw that they didn't or couldn't wait to get out. Walking away from religion isn't unusual. It's also really not unreasonable. A lot of so-called Christians have hurt a lot of people and have done a lot of damage in the name of Jesus. Ever find yourself thinking, man, we'd be better off without religion? And here's the crazy part. Jesus agrees with you. What God has always wanted is meaningful connections with his creation. But most of us experience religion as rigid, rule-following, devoid of relationship. Jesus' aim was to help humanity unlearn what they thought they knew and embrace lives fueled by transformational love. Jesus firmly believed abandoning certain religious traditions would free us to live the full lives that we were designed and made for. Which ones and why? And that's what we'll be talking over the next few weeks. Which ones and why? Let's start off with abandoning judgment and condescension. Let's stop that last time I did that. You ever had someone judge you before they ever really got to know you? Maybe it was the car that you drive, or the job that you have, or how you spoke, or maybe even it was the neighborhood that you came from. And right away, people are passing judgment on you. It doesn't feel good to be judged by someone, especially when there is no effort from their part to get to know you. This has probably happened to many of us at some point. Maybe for you, it was at school. Or you started a new job with new coworkers, or as you stepped into this new season of life, this new beginning, those people who were new to you immediately judged you before ever even talking with you, getting to know you. When this happens, church, it causes us to feel insecure about who we are, question what we can do, and doubt if this is really where we belong. I also think that if we're honest this morning, many of us have probably also been the ones to make judgment of others. Yes, Pastor, yeah, that was me. But my judgments of others are small. Small, they're small little things. Like the clothing, right, someone chooses to wear, or how they choose to do their hair, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, little stuff. How they drive, you know, things. It's a little stuff. That kind of judgment doesn't really matter whatsoever. What if I tell you this morning, what if these small judgments that you make of others that you don't think matter, but add up over time and start to develop a critical spirit? I want you to hold on to those two words, critical spirit in you that leaks into other areas of your life like faith. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say that each and every one of you has a critical spirit. By this time, you already know. You already started sweating. You already started wiggling in your chair. You put your head down. You didn't even look straight in the eyes. Because you already feel that happening. I think many people who would claim to be Christians, right? I think many people today claim to be Christians, but are living accordingly, according to self. In other words, living their own way and making Jesus fit into their way of living. They are definitely not living according to God. In fact, too many Christians fall into patterns of religious rule following rather than a genuine relationship with God. What a critical spirit, oh, those two words again, what a critical spirit does, right? And so just to be clear, critical spirit, when I mention that, that is small judgments that we make of others that we don't think matter. Okay? So critical spirits, right, are small judgments that we make of others that we don't think matter. It takes what was intended to be a relationship with God and makes it a religion about God. Oh, I'm going to get into today. You see, for many, faith has simply become about information. What can the pastor say today that's going to feed me some knowledge? How much scripture can I learn, can I memorize? How many classes, how many pastors, how many sermons, how many books can I read to fill up my Rolodex or my personal encyclopedia of religion? Information, that is. How much about God do I know when what we need, church, when what we need is transformation, not information. We need transformation, right, to embrace and experience all that God has for us. Oh, but pastor, I need to get informed in order to make a sound decision. I get that. I get that when you're doing your taxes. I get that when you are trying to, you know, find out what Google has to say about your cough. No judgment whatsoever here. But the truth is that we have overcomplicated things as believers. You see, what God is asking of us is transformation above information. To embrace and experience all that he has for us. In one of Jesus' most significant messages, the Sermon on the Mount, you may have heard of it, he is trying to move us from religious duty to genuine relationship with him. And Jesus knew that there were some things people needed to unlearn. And I believe this month, that there are some things that we as believers need to unlearn for the benefit of our own relationship with Christ. Matthew 7, 1 to 2, it says, do not judge others. I'll say that again. Do not judge others. I'll say that again. Do not judge. Can I say it one more time? Do not judge others. Just checking if you're with me, right? Do not judge others and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard the standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. One of the Pharisees Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the phrases that Jesus uses on the Sermon on the Mount is, you have heard it was said. Right, all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it was said. You have heard it was said like this, right? Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. He's referencing them. He says, you've been taught, you've heard from their lips. They have showed you, they have told you. The Pharisees were a group of spiritual leaders with spiritual teaching authority. And so they started centuries way back. They had started way back and with good motives too. Their intentions were good. They were trying to take the word of God and kind of pour it out into people. But then they started adding. They started adding literally thousands and thousands of rules and saying everybody has to follow them. So part of God's law in the Old Testament was not to work on the Sabbath, which was supposed to be reserved as a day of rest, right? We've heard that before. Do not work on the Sabbath. The Pharisees thought it would be great to create 39 additional rules around that one command from God. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. It says that you could not spit on the Sabbath. That was an added on rule. So it says, keep the Sabbath, right? Do not work on the Sabbath. But they added to that, it says, you could not spit on the Sabbath because it would disturb the dirt, and that was considered plowing. Let me give you another one. You cannot swat a fly on the Sabbath because that was considered that you went out hunting. And now, that when I thought it, put this together, I could think it was Mr. Miyagi with his toothpicks trying to get the fly. Am I? No, okay, we move on. We move on. Gosh, tough crowd this morning. You see, all of these rules caused the Pharisees to become superior, self-righteous, critical people who were condemning other people. That critical spirit rose in them and caused them to look down on everybody else. The people of that day thought the Pharisees were the most religious, and Jesus is saying, I have to help you unlearn, because that spirit of judging that you see in them, it's not righteous. It's not righteous. It's actually unholy. So I want to give us three kind of pictures of what's happening in this teaching. And the first one is the Pharisees' perspective on this. The second is the world's perspective. And the third one is Jesus' perspective. And in order to do this, I'm going to use a high jump reference, as a reference, as an illustration. Anybody ever do high jump before? You know, it's that bar they put on. You run and you got to jump over it backwards, break your back, like, you know, and all that stuff. And so I want you to keep that in your mind. I'm going to ask two guys to come help me because they're the tallest two people I can find in this place, right? So I'm going to have them come on up here. Let's give a round of applause for Jim and Vickin. You guys can stand right there. Now, it doesn't matter. Just they're actually, which side is their best side is their question that they're looking for. And so, right, they're going to hold that for. And this is the high bar. How many of you could jump this? You're liars, right? And so these are the biggest guys I have here, okay? So the Pharisees acknowledge that the law of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, established the height of God's holiness. And so this, right? This is God's holiness. This is the height, the law of Moses. This is the law that God had established, right? This line here, you call the righteousness law of God. And of course, it's over our head, right? I'm not bumping my head into it, right? It's over our head. Nobody can clear it. God establishes what it means to be holy and righteous. And this law, this truth of God, is what gives us a life-giving relationship. It's inside the truth of God that we figure out how to breathe and experience the fullness of life. Everybody see that? Everybody understand that? But what did the Pharisees do? Well, the Pharisees raised the bar. They added rules to to God's righteousness. And when you move something from God's righteousness, right? When you move from God's righteousness to man-made rules, it doesn't become more righteous. You follow? It doesn't become more righteous. It becomes religious. It becomes religious. God's standard is righteousness. Moving above God's standard is now considered religious. Man's standard is just mere religion. As they move the bar up, where they were lowering God's standard of love. In the church, we have done the same thing. We have done the same thing. We start making a bunch of rules and we become religion driven and less loving. Religious living and less loving. Maybe you've been to a church where you had to dress a certain way, or you couldn't show your tattoos or wear sneakers or caps, or you couldn't be struggling with something in your life and still be part of the church. That experience was people like the Pharisees raising the bar with rules that God never intended or established. That critical spirit and air of superiority caused them to condemn others rather than to welcome and love others. They spent so much energy judging others and being condescending towards others that they missed the very essence of it all. And the essence of righteousness, folks, is that you believe God is love. At the very core of his being. That God is not about judging. God is not about rules and regulations. That God is the very essence of love. They weren't loving people. They were condemning people. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 7:2? The measure you use will be measured to you. So if you were measured by that same standard, right? You were measured by that same standard. These guys are sweating right now because their arms are tired. I'm almost done, guys. Right? I'm almost done. Right? If you stop laughing because they got to hold it longer. Right? So if you were measured by the same standard, you would be condemning yourself, because that's what we do when we have a critical spirit. We condemn ourselves. The second perspective is the world's. What the world does is that it removes the bar. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. Let's give it up for them. The second perspective is what is the world's perspective. And what the world does is that it removes the bars. It removes the bars. Now notice I didn't say the bar. They didn't just remove the Pharisee standard. They also removed God's standard. Nobody's going to be able to jump over or clear that bar, so let's just get it out of the way. So now we're going to redefine love and acceptance. Love and acceptance is there, but there's no standard. There's no standard. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no good. There's no bad. You are the author of your own rules and righteousness. Whatever works for you, however you like, whatever makes you happy. And when the world removes the bar, they end up having a condoning spirit. When the world removes the bars, they end up endorsing a condoning spirit. In other words, whatever you want to do, they'll condone. Yeah, whatever makes you happy. Love is love. Whatever, sure. I'm good with it. I'll roll with it. I'm easy peasy. Yeah. But the world missed the point. Matthew 7, 6 says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. What Jesus is saying is, don't waste what is holy on what is unclean. And don't give wisdom to someone who doesn't want it. This verse is speaking to helping one another move closer to God's kingdom and righteousness. With the right spirit, we aren't called. I want you to hear me out. We aren't called to condone, but in love to call each other up. Call each other up to following the words and the ways of Jesus. The question now becomes, when it comes to correcting, rather than condoning and correcting without condoning, is what is my motive? What is my motive? What's my heart behind this? Is my motive to genuinely move the person up closer to Jesus? Or is it to make myself appear better than them? So the Pharisees raised the bar and condemned. The world removed the bar and condones. But what does Jesus do for us and desire for us to do for others? I'll tell you what he does. Jesus lifts us over the bar. Jesus lifts us over the bar. Jesus was focused on building real relationships, not getting people to behave according to the rules and regulations. And this frustrated the Pharisees. I'll say this again. Jesus' focus was on building real relationships, not getting people to behave according to the rules and regulations. And this frustrated the Pharisees. But there was one Pharisee who curiously came to Jesus, right? And started to ask questions. In John chapter 3, Jesus had a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, nobody could know what you know, and nobody could do what you do. But please explain it to me. So Nicodemus, out of his group of Pharisees, decided to step out, and he wants to ask Jesus the questions. He wants Jesus to explain it. And Jesus gives him one of the most well-known Bible verses, whether you consider yourself a follower, a believer or not, but you've heard it, you've seen it. In John 3:16, and he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus gives him that sentence. Then he goes on to say, in a few scriptures later, he goes on to say that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn. God is gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. It's not his nature, nor is it his desire to condemn us. So it's not the role of the Pharisees or any one of us to condemn other people. God is the only one righteous enough to judge. He's the only one that can see the heart. And he chooses not to condemn the world, but through Jesus to redeem the world. You see, this is not about condemning people. This is not about judging. It's about redemption. This is the story of Jesus, redemption and love. And for those of us who identify as followers of Jesus, we are called to be part of that redemption. Jesus lifts us over the bar, and therefore the role of the church is not to stand on the side of the bar judging the world. Our role in all of this is to introduce people to Jesus. To introduce people to Jesus. John 13, 34, 35 says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment, to love each other, just as I have loved you, and you should love each other." Right? "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You are my disciples based on how you love others. These two verses right here are how we do what Jesus is calling us to do as the church. Friends, we abandon judgment and condescension by sacrificially showing love to those we're tempted to look down upon. Want to be a better follower of Christ? Stop trying to memorize all the scripture and start following in the ways of the Lord. Start loving people. Start loving people. The role of the church is not to judge the world, but to introduce the world to Jesus. That's a role. That's our role. That's what it means to be transformed. We have to move from people of a critical spirit to poor in spirit, which simply means to be humble. We just need to be more humble. Stop walking around with your nose up in the air and looking down upon others who don't play the role, who don't dress the part, who don't speak like you, who don't know all the scriptures like you. But to be humble. And introduce others to Jesus. I'm acknowledging my own. I'll say it again. I'm acknowledging my own need for God to rescue me, which in turn makes it more difficult for me to judge or to look down upon anyone else. Because when we're so focused on building our relationship with Jesus, we don't have time to judge others. We don't have time to see the faults or the negatives of others or how they add up or don't add up. Because we ourselves have yet to add up. Friends, to abandon judgment in condescension, we must learn to love others the way Jesus has loved us. I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus has loved me a whole bunch. A whole bunch. If you were to ever sit down and hear my story, you would say, "Oh my God, Jesus loves you a bunch." I'm going to wrap this up this morning. Judgment of others and a critical spirit is one area that always seems to be at the forefront of someone's faith journey. Again, we have probably both felt judged at times and have been guilty of judging others. But what if we really fully embraced Jesus' transforming love for us? In other words, accepted his love, accepted his forgiveness. In other words, surrendered our lives to him and allowed him to do what he wants, not what we want, what he wants. Accepted his love and began to treat others with kindness and walk in humility rather than judgment. To walk around believing that, man, God loves me so much. In fact, He loves me so much that He loves you that much as well. Instead of, ooh, that hairdo. Ooh, what are you wearing? Like, you really drive that? Like, where'd you come from? The South Bronx? Really? I wonder too if there are people around you or in your life that maybe don't have the clearest picture of Jesus because you raised the bar and condemned them. What if the people around you that you do life be like, don't want to know Jesus, don't want to come to church because you said, oh, you have to wear this, or you can't speak like that, or when I introduce you to the pastor, just nod your head and don't talk. Can I tell you a quick story? I'm going to wrap it up. Back in 2001, I came from New York City, the South Bronx, to California. I moved to Hollywood, right on La Brea and Hollywood. I hit a wall in my life, and I needed Jesus ASAP. At the age of 27, living alone in California, I decided to give my heart to Jesus because I had tried everything else. He took my heart and He began to, first and foremost, pump it with love because I felt unloved. I felt unaccepted. I felt like everything that I touched burned to a crisp. He grabbed a hold of my heart. He says, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to be in a relationship with me. And I said, Jesus, if you are real, God, if you are real, I need you to save me. I need you to do it right here, right now, in the flesh. And He did. But part of that kind of relationship that I had started with Him, I said, if you do so, I promise to follow you for the rest of my life. Not really knowing what. But I wanted to surrender my life. Because me, as Bob said earlier, behind the wheel was a recipe for disaster. And so I gave my heart to Jesus. He brought me to a church in North Hollywood. Because of my stupidity, I thought it was just a few blocks up from Hollywood. North Hollywood, Hollywood, get it? It's a city boy here. Brought me to this church called North Hollywood First Assembly of God. When I walked into that church, I just felt the load of bricks off my shoulders and I just began to weep because that was the next step in my journey. My burdens, the weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders. And this is what I'm trying to get to. A few months later, I was deep in my word, following the Lord, trying to grow, absorb as much as I could. And I felt God calling me to go and help in the youth ministry, in the students' ministry. I'm like, no way. Not me. He said, yes, you. Yes, you. I'm like, no. Like, really? No. Like, I don't have my stuff together, Lord. I'm still trying to figure this out. I curse every three words. I'm cursing every three words. Some of you are like, oh, the nerve. I would want you to replay this message. Stop judging. And I was like, no, you can't. I'm not ready. I'm not there. This is not for me. Like, I'm the worst thing. And I was reminded I surrendered my life to Him. And God didn't judge me. The pastor didn't even judge me. He said, yeah, come. Like, you don't know me. He said, come. So I went there the first day and I sat in these rafters that they had. And I was like this, holding my mouth because I don't want to curse. I was a bunch of students. I didn't want to curse. I was like, I just nodded. can I tell you, from that moment over the next year, literally, I can't remember a time that I cursed. Because when God has something for you, when God is in the business, I want to tell you this morning, God is in the business of transforming lives. He's not here to judge you. Should we? And here I am, 20 years plus, trying to figure out, Lord, how can I surrender my life more to you? So here's my challenge for all of us to do this week. I want you to remember, it's not just about information. It's about transformation. Moving from the critical spirit to poor in spirit. This week, I want you to sincerely apologize to someone that you've treated judgmentally. Whether they know it or not. Like you have just, man, that person, they got something wrong with them. I don't like them. I don't like this. They do this, right? To sincerely apologize and speak life into them. That's your job. That's your role for this week. The role of the church, I remind you, is not to judge the world, but introduce them to Jesus. We are not above others. We are called to walk alongside of them. Amen.